Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are talking about what's going on in the realm of, small business funding, the realm of venture capital, you know, what's happening there, because when it comes to small businesses in South Africa, you know, in whatever industry, one of the biggest gripes is always, how do I access funding, or how do I, you know, find partners that are going to help me to scale my business, you know, and take it to that next level. And, you know, for today, we are joined by the team. They're coming in to talk to us about the Hlaisani Growth Fund. And they're going to be talking to us just around what they've been doing, because they recently raised and closed about 350 million rand. And we're going to be talking to them just around what are they looking to do, you know, with the fund, you know, what type of business are they going to be investing in, and where do they see the funding space sort of progressing and going in South Africa. So on the line, happy to be joined by Dr. Roel Khoza, and together with Dr. Eugene Van Rensburg. They are both part of this fund. And I think I'll start with Dr. Khoza, you know, just to maybe get a sense in terms of the fund itself. What is the main thrust? Is it because people are gathering money, trying to raise capital on a daily basis? What is it that you guys are, you know, firstly trying to do, and why have you guys come together?
Well, the cardinal objective of the fund is to invest in high growth, high impact enterprises. And these enterprises are typically located above what you might call venture capital, largely de-risked, and now standing ready to grow. And that's where we typically would be focusing. And we would like to focus more on those companies that are geared for growing economically, but will also have a great social impact in terms of job creation, and in terms of helping in a number of sub-industries where technology can be applied. I mean, take education, take health, even food security. But the idea is to apply technology, maximize production, and take advantage of what technology can do by way of enabling growth. We have invested already in a few companies that are geared for growth domestically and globally. We already have a presence in multiple geographies in this particular continent, in South America, and limited presence, but a presence anyhow in Europe and countries or continents like that.
Now, it certainly sounds like you guys are, you know, investing in a number of, very interesting business. As a geek myself, it's always good and nice when you hear that that there's the thrust on the technology front. But perhaps as a follow-up to that, you know, just given the magnitude of either startups, small businesses, that entire sector, 350 million rand, how do you see that in terms of, as a quantum, in terms of, where you guys are trying to go? How do you see that? Is that enough money? Are we, how do you guys think about that?
Well, 350 million can not be enough, clearly, but this is our first close. The entrepreneurial landscape in South Africa needs a lot of investment support. And we want to believe that we will be a significant player in there. We believe that given our current investment pipeline, in fact, we could do with 1 billion. So having had this initial close, we will actually be working very, very hard to raise more capital in the next 12 to 18 months. We believe we will hit the billion and the billion plus. But even that will be used very, very selectively, where the impact will be significant in those areas that I've mentioned earlier on. We want to believe that we could have numerous players in this particular space, and that's what will actually save our political economy.
I think at this point, let me bring in Dr. Eugene, just to understand the investment philosophy and perhaps the thesis, because usually when a fund is raised or you're starting to raise capital, there's usually a thesis that is behind whatever the fundraising is. And I think Dr. Kwoza started, had already started talking about high growth businesses, and things like that. And in you answering, how have you sort of placed yourself? Because there's a lot of terms that get thrown around in the space when it comes to, the philosophy, etc. Are you private equities, it venture capital? Is it, all of these things? So how are you guys thinking about that?
Thank you, Madiwa. Yeah, absolutely. So our investment thesis, and reiterated by Dr. Kwoza, is investing to high growth, high impact SMEs that have a deep domestic marketplace, but with global appeal. So how do we leverage the domestic entrepreneurial talent and a competitive cost base to allow for dramatic value increase as these businesses scale globally? Now, within the space of jargon in the industry, we do participate in essentially late stage venture capital, early stage private equity. There is an enormous funding gap between the traditional view of venture capital being almost angel investing in South Africa and then your traditional private equity businesses. And so you've got these growth, but you've got entrepreneurs that are their products and services and customer base is growing faster than their revenue can fund that growth. And so effectively, what they're looking for is strategic capital, smart capital to come in and to support that growth through not only being able to take just whatever revenue or payment periods that come in, but to take that additional capital to increase their sales force or increase their service team or their development team or their manufacturing capability and capacity. And it's really important when we look at our investment thesis, when we address this funding gap in the market, we also introduce the team in terms of smart capital. So we look to play an active role in supporting the entrepreneurs being successful. And that role requires us to help them support the business strategy, support the people growth strategy, and then also to support their networking and growing both locally and internationally. So from an investment thesis perspective, it's active smart money investment. It's helping companies whose pipe their product services customer pipeline is far greater than their current internal capital can service. And they're looking for partners that gives them the ability to understand growth differently in terms of product services strategy, growth markets, different economies, and then networking. So as a team, we're both operators and investors and are able to, at various points of a young entrepreneurial journey, help with information or support or strategic advice throughout the process. From a macroeconomic perspective, so SME growth is our main focus. We then break that down into our strategic focus being technology and manufacturing, and technology and manufacturing being the ability to deliver exponential results, to service more than just your domestic marketplace. It's much more exportable. So essentially, if you look at the start of the new fourth industrial revolution, where this intersection between manufacturing and software as a technology and data, where that provides us an opportunity to find very unique entrepreneurs solving the problems that are emerging in our economies, that's where our focus of capital deployment is. We do really like the pure technology and the pure manufacturing space, but we also really like the food security, the health and the education technology sectors, because we believe that the private and public sector is underinvesting into the services that the emerging middle income group of both South Africa, Africa, and the globe is requiring in future. So in terms of the fund return metrics, we believe that delivering strong economic returns is really important for sustainability whilst driving social value. So we also look at very specific economic metrics. The companies, when we talk about high growth, they've got to be able to return in excess of 20% IRR or investment return rate over a period of time. What that means in investment return terms is over an 8-year period, that business has to be able to quadruple at least in terms of growth. And so when we look at the entrepreneurs, what's the track record in growth at the moment? What's the addressable market size that entrepreneur and business can service both domestically and globally? And how do we support them through the smart capital allocation to achieve those targets? Now, the multiplier effect on GDP growth for South Africa and employment growth is meaningful. If you look at the current portfolio, we've seen a doubling in employment growth over the last 2 years, and most notably, continued employment growth over COVID in an SME portfolio that's adequately funded.
When it comes to making your choices for investment, because, you know, a lot of people often think around, you know, how do investors, how do funds actually think about investing? You know, are you investing more, you know, in terms of the teams that are leading the businesses, or sort of more of, you know, what the business model potential could be? Dr. Van Rensburg, I'll start with you.
Certainly. Thank you. We definitely look at the business model and its appeal in terms of being able to prove itself in the domestic market. And then what is that global appeal of that particular model? Once you've got a good business model and you've got a track record of growth and delivery, and essentially you're looking for capital to accelerate that growth, it all falls on the execution thereof. And so literally 50% of success of businesses is 100% correlated to the strength of the team. And the team, you know, as you start growing, there's two elements. There's starting team. Who's the entrepreneur? What is their enthusiasm for this? And it's not just about success stories. I think, Madewa, it's important to know that we want to be able to partner with entrepreneurs who have shown innovation and resilience in good and in tough times. You know, being an entrepreneur means that you've got to be able to wake up in the morning, irrespective of which weekday it is, it may be a Sunday morning, and go and help a customer solve a problem. It takes hard work, perseverance, and there are some incredibly talented South African entrepreneurs that demonstrate this passion for the products and solutions that they provide to their customers in solving their needs. It's what the business model supports can only be demonstrated by the discipline of the entrepreneur. So we partner with teams. We typically don't take controlling investment stakes. We look at significant minority stakes in terms of investments, because we want the team to be incentivized to participate in the success of the journey, because we know they're going to be running it. And then us as an investment team, we look at what we can do from a supporting role for these entrepreneurs. We believe that we're incredibly blessed to be able to join these entrepreneurs on a very exciting journey, and where we can help them leverage their business model or their team and growth. That's our role. That's our way we get excited. And so the team at starting point needs to be strong and passionate and eager to learn and show and demonstrate their resilience and their ability to innovate. But then also, as the team grows, a big role that we play is to find within our network skill set that can then support the founder and their group executives in terms of you're growing a business from 20 employees to 150 employees takes a very interesting skill set, and employ, and then having the ability to attract the right people to help scale a business like that is really important. So an investment thesis, in summary, is supported by what is that business model? Has it got track record? Does it have domestic market traction and global appeal? And then very importantly, who are the entrepreneurs behind this? What is their track record? What is their passion in life? What are the things that they get up in the morning and go, I'm going to solve this?
Okay. Dr. Kwoza, your take on this, and I ask because you've been on a number of boards, you know, such as Nedbank, you know, the National Power Utility, Eskom, etc. And I'm just going to bring in a personal, you know, anecdote, because when I was at Rhodes Business School, Dr. Kwoza used to actually come and lecture on corporate governance, you know, back in the day. And, you know, we used to enjoy, you know, some of those things. So do you, you know, sort of take that sort of same approach, you know, sort of extending to what Dr. Van Rensburg is saying, you know, because I can imagine that unlike a big corporate, you know, some of these small enterprises or, you know, startups, how they run themselves, etc. It's you know, in some cases, it's a bit of a mess, you know. So how have you approached all of that?
Madiba, I think you're right. Entrepreneurs typically are pretty innovative, and at times might neglect some of the organizational elements that would actually serve to help them grow as they should. As an investment group, we are not absentee investors. We choose to involve ourselves with the investments. We back up the innovation and the entrepreneurial spirit, but realizing that they also need to be strengthened organizationally. You have referred to governance. Governance has to do with leadership and leadership in practice. So we will sit on some of their boards and focus on things strategic and how they could actually grow technically, how they could manage their resources, not only the technical side, but also the human element, because it is critical in those kinds of areas. Dr. Van Rensburg has mentioned our involvement in education, in health, even in food security. Now we bring skill sets that actually render the new enterprises a lot more robust, that enable the entrepreneur to provide the entrepreneurial push, but with the backing, the organizational backing, the strategic backing, the governance backing that an investment group such as ourselves would actually bring to bear.
I guess this one, you know, it's another one that people can you know, take into consideration when you hear some of the stories, especially out of the United States. You have investors that will come in, and you, I think Kevin O'Leary has said this before, that if he invests in a business and he can see that the leadership of the business is not the best, he will move to sort of get rid of them. And I don't know if we have enough discussions just around that, in terms of, you know, the position of you know, the investors. Do you think it's a matter of helping? Because it really does sound like you guys are taking more of a, we can help you to grow the business approach, as opposed to, you know, that sort of, I'm going to call it that savage approach of, you know, I come in as an activist and then I, you know, install my own people, you know, in the context of South Africa, because the small companies do become the large corporates of tomorrow, etc. How do you think is the best approach? Do we just come in and whitewash and take everyone out and then bring in our own people? Or do we sort of enable the people that are in the teams that, you know, because at the end of the day, this is people's money, that is, you know, being pulled together and being put into these businesses, you know. So how do you guys think about things like that? Because as investors, I'm sure these are all the things that you're thinking about when it comes to protecting your investment. Dr. Kwoza, I'll start with you.
Yeah, we want to view ourselves as a catalytic investor group. We don't go into these investments to take them over. We go into these investments to enable them to grow. Ours is actually even in positioned as a growth fund. It's called the Hlaisani Growth Fund. Hlaisani has to do with conserving, nourishing, developing, and enabling to grow. So that would actually be the philosophy. The idea is not to gobble up small enterprises, but to move in to enable them to grow in a manner that also enables them to have social impact in terms of job creation. We have come to believe that observers worldwide that job creation and economic growth actually resides in small scale enterprises, not in those that are mature and are beginning to decline. And our main thrust as an investor group is to actually give a fillip, give imprimatur to the entrepreneurial ventures that have already largely de-risked most of the risks that are attendant on venture capital, but are geared for growth. And you don't want to go into an organization that is geared for growth and smother it to death. You want to go in there and inject even greater confidence, inject even greater energy for them to grow and deliver financially, deliver economically, but very, very importantly, deliver greatly in terms of social impact, job creation.
Dr. Van Rensburg, your take?
Yes, absolutely. So Dr. Kwoza's positioning of that is 100% spot on. There's two elements to our responsibility. It's one, investor money and making sure that that's deployed responsibly and it's got the right impact in both economically and from a social perspective. The second element of that is these people, these entrepreneurs that we invest into employ a large number of people. And so it's also important that those businesses remain sustainable and grow because there's livelihoods of the people that work for the portfolio companies that need to be kept intact. And so having instability at a founder or a CEO level creates a lot of anxiety, unnecessary anxiety, and will detract from growth. So when we take an active role in terms of sitting on the board and engaging on strategy, etc., it's very much a supportive role in catalyzing that growth potential. We will definitely look to perturbate some of the thinking and saying, are we thinking big enough? Are we thinking broad enough? Are we addressing enough of the market size? And so a lot of the work that we do with founders and CEOs, specifically founder CEOs, is, and I mentioned this briefly earlier, is growing from 20 or 30 people to 100 people is a huge governance burden. And if it's not done correctly and having the right processes and structure and management structure in place, that business will hit this glass ceiling. It won't reach its potential. And so a lot of the work we do is mentorship and guidance and access to information on how to scale those businesses appropriately. And often what you find is we meet really exciting entrepreneurs, we invest into them. And at the stage of investment, they're small, they haven't had their big growth push yet. And so the entrepreneur is in everything. They're doing the sales, they're doing the marketing, they're doing the debtors book, they're doing the accounts, they're doing everything. And that's right, because they need to know how that works. But once the business gets to a point where it's now 100 people, the entrepreneur will fall over. There's just not enough time in a day to focus on all of those things. And so bringing in the right supporting executive structures for that founder CEO is very important. One of the biggest neglected areas by entrepreneurs, especially young entrepreneurs that are starting to, they've had their first angel investments, they've potentially done a venture capital round and they're starting to grow now, is having a strong CFO. You know, often it's seen as an expense by the CEO that could be spent on a development team. But what we find a lot of the time is bringing in some financial discipline around the business and putting in structure around that is so supportive for the CEO and his founding team and the development team that that's often a very big catalytic event in a growing business's life. And it doesn't mean you have to have full-time CEOs. There's some amazing entrepreneurs that have built CFO outsourced businesses that can support you. So we definitely take a very collaborative approach. What we do have to say, though, there is a responsibility in terms of investors that as you grow through that journey, if one gets to a point where the CEO feels that they are no longer aligned with the strategy of the business, then there's a consultation process that goes on. It says, why not? Let's understand. Is there something we're missing? Let's get some other expert opinions from our networking. And in the very rare occasions where that happens, we'll then work with that CEO to say, is there a better role in this growing business and work with it going forward. So it's first prize when we invest, the management team and the CEO team that we invest into upfront is the CEO team that carries this thing through its growth stage. A very important part of that is the individual's growth as well. And we support and mentor that as far as we possibly can. Only in the very exceptional circumstances where that changes, we then find amicable ways of resolving that, remembering that there's a lot of people employed in that business that need sustainability and certainty, and there's an investor base that needs certainty, and there's a CEO that may say, you know what, they actually really like the development path more than they'd like the governance management path. And so they'll take a different role on the board. So Madewa, it all works fluidly. And it's hard. What's the best outcome for the business and the secondly best outcome for the people in the business, including founder, CEO, all the way to the delivery man or the tea lady, it's important that they're all engaged and enthusiastic about the journey that they're on and that they're doing something special that's changing lives of their customers.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in the interest of time, I think, you know, we're going to round up at this point, and I'll allow you guys both, you know, just some parting thoughts. And in giving those parting thoughts, perhaps you could highlight, you know, a company or, you know, a set of companies or whatever that are part of your portfolio that you guys are particularly proud of. In terms, because you know, Dr. Kwoza did mention some of the companies or some of the businesses that the fund is invested in earlier on, but I guess from your take, you know, maybe spotlighting some of those businesses, and I guess more importantly for the, you know, for someone who's listening to this who has, you know, an idea and thinks, you know, that a partnership with HGF would be, you know, ideal, you know, how they could, you know, approach, you know, a possible meeting, you know, if they were, you know, faced with the two of you. Dr. Kwoza, I'll start with you.
Madiba, thank you very much. The specific companies I would get Dr. Van Rensburg to comment on, because he actually works with them a lot more closely on a day-to-day basis. But suffice it to say that we have a company in the area of education where now we are forced by circumstances, including COVID-19, to engage in distant learning. And we have a company that actually is very, very active in that area, both here in South Africa, in East Africa, in large measure, and has gone global. Of great importance to logistics, whether you're talking about logistics within major cities, or even logistics, you know, long range, such as I find myself as an avocado grower and packer. You you need to rheology to make sure that your product, particularly sensitive products like avocados that might actually rot, unless you actually pick them at the right time and transported them in the right temperature from here, say, to Cape Town. Here, I mean Mpumalanga, and then from Cape Town into Europe. In all of that, you're engaged in ensuring food security, but you also engaged in making sure that technology enables you to function optimally. We find ourselves areas such as where a company called Wise Talk enables the communication in major corporations like mining, for instance, like retail, to be demanded by heightened morale and productivity, and lower the misunderstandings that actually wreck organizations. So, but let me hand over to my colleague who would actually talk a lot more in a more granular fashion about some of the seven companies who would take a lot of time if we were to cover all of them, say perhaps three or so of the seven companies in a manner that is a lot more illustrative.
Thank you for the opportunity there, Madhua. Yes, picking one or two companies is a little bit like asking us to pick a favorite sibling or a favorite child. Impossible. I think that what's important to note is between the seven, so we've, of the first close investment round, we've already deployed 200 million rand into seven companies. They're all performing in excess of 30% IRR. So they're well on track to beating our mandated investment returns. They operate on six continents. We've got, so effectively, they've got a customer in pretty much any of the global markets. So when you look at the companies, the ones that stand out, so Snaplify, Dr. Corso alluded to in terms of really democratizing the access to education, information and learning materials has done a phenomenal job over the last couple of years. Wise Talk, in terms of employee engagement, talks to our philosophy and our value system in terms of making sure that everyone from an employment perspective feels engaged and can grow. Go Metro is solving global transport problems. They've got amazing local taxi operators working optimally in terms of the transport engineering they've put in place. And similarly, in Hong Kong, the busing system uses their technology, and Texas and Cambridge University. So really proud to say that someone like a Go Metro is able to export their services globally. Another company, Pseudonym, they enable retail marketplaces. So if anyone's gone into Property 24 or to Gumtree, they've used the services and they use that, they deploy that in Europe and in South America. And those are our companies with really big global footprints already. We have another company that was the first Google partner, premium partner in Africa. They're busy expanding themselves into Africa and into Europe. And then we've got two very proud domestic market portfolio companies. One is called LEAP, Lean Enterprise Acceleration Programs, and they're doing an incredible job at helping micro enterprises help grow and build their own businesses to start getting into the space where they can attract venture capital and growth funding. And Ikeja, democratizing access to information in townships and peri-urban areas. So there is an exciting portfolio. We're going to be adding to that portfolio. We're looking at three or four new portfolio investments. The current portfolio is going to receive some additional growth funding for global expansion. And in terms of, you know, where we're going is we'd like to get ourselves to a fund that's a multiple of where our first close was, to keep investing into companies that demonstrate our investment thesis and is able to deliver value for new young entrepreneurs with innovative ideas and talent. We absolutely invite them to engage with us. We do suggest that you go to our website, www.thlaisani.com. And on there is an overview of the portfolio companies, links to see what they're doing. And also there is an opportunity to submit a proposal to us. We ask that they go through the proposal process because it will give them a very good feel for the kind of business plan that they need to have in place before we can consider them for investment deployment.
So that's been us with the team from the Hlaisani Growth Fund. That's Dr. Raul Khoza, who is the fund's chairman, together with Dr. Eugene Van Rensburg, who is a partner in the fund, giving us some insight into what they're doing. They recently closed a 350 million rand fund, and we're talking about whether or not this is enough money. Dr. Khoza saying, this will never be enough money. And, in an ideal situation, they would be hoping to have more than a billion. And even Dr. Van Rensburg also alluding to the fact that they want to raise multiples of what, they have at the moment. 200 million rand has already been invested in a number of companies that they've just spoken about. Happy to say that I have already, I have engaged, at some point with the team from Wise Talk, innovative technology that they're using there, thousands and thousands of people around the world. I can't remember how many, if I remember correctly, it must have been around like more than 100,000 users around the world, because they're doing, mining companies and, things like that. And they provide, a line of communication, because I think for office bound workers, we often think, of email, but what happens if you have a workforce that is not primarily engaging over a communication platform like email. So, very interesting set of businesses. And also just talking about the importance of leadership. We spent a lot of time talking about that, because at the end of the day, the funds do need to be deployed and entrusted in a team that will be able to grow the business going forward. So that's been it. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us.
Madiba. Thank you very much, Madiba.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
A very fascinating discussion just around the world of venture capital and funding some of these technology startups. As much as we talk about SMEs, it's very clear that there's a strong technology push when it comes to what the Hlaisani Growth Fund is doing. And I guess coupled with that is just the investment philosophy around, high growth. They define where it is that they're coming in. One of my favorite parts about the whole discussion is just looking at the role of leadership, right? We spend quite a bit of time talking about that, and it seems to be one of those things that we don't spend enough time talking about. Yes, businesses don't have places of funding, but if you do find, someone who's going to back you, right, what is the extent of the relationship? What is the position of the investor? What is the position of the management team? How can there be cohesion? How can we help to take things forward? Because at the end of the day, everyone in the venture has the same goal, which is to grow the business and then, make returns for the business and then for investors as well. And a big thing has to be made of who's actually leading these companies. What type of skills do we need to take these companies forward? You heard Dr. Van Rensburg talking a lot about having a firm CFO, for example, that's a chief financial officer, to help supplement the skills of a CEO. At the same time, you also have what Dr. Khoza was talking about, to say that in some cases with smaller businesses, there are some governance structures that many small businesses don't have, and understandably so, because there's so much pressure, so much stuff going on. But if some of these things were to be implemented, then it would certainly help to make some of these businesses thrive a little bit better. But also, going forward, just as looking at and seeing some of the businesses that they are investing in, you can see there's a strong education focus, and that's been an area that we've spoken a little bit about on this platform, because the last year has seen a lot of remote learning coming to the fore, and it would be good to see some of the or some of the solutions that different players are coming to the market with, you know, when it comes to, you know, these and other issues. Certainly keen to engage with the team further and, you know, maybe even getting some of the businesses that they've invested in to talk about, you know, what they're talking, what they're doing in the businesses and what some of these funds are being used for. All right, so that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the Podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter, where hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.